everyone. Thanks for joining the Houston Young Adults Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all our socials at Houston Young Adults. Thanks for tuning in.
What's up, y'all? It is Courtney. I'm excited to bring the word today to Houston Young Adults. So I have a scripture for us that were a couple of scriptures as our foundation scriptures that I was meditating on together. And I want to share with you this topic today. And I know it's going to bless you. It's going to cause you to rise up in who you are and to act on the word, which is ultimately what produces results in your life when you act upon what you know from the word. So let's go to 1 John 4. Let's start in verse 14. And I'm going to talk about our identification with Christ. We know that our old life has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have a new life in Christ. And so we have to identify with Jesus. We have to identify with who he is, what he is able to do. And the same things that he is, and what he can do, we can do because of him through his power and through his strength. And so I titled this today, Identify with Christ, Your Life. And so we're going to read two scriptures that are going to be our foundation scriptures for this topic today. 1 John 14, let's get started. It says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses," okay, let's just start one verse back. Let's go to verse 13. "By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit." So it says just in that first verse, we abide in him and he abides in us because we have his spirit. So there's this mutual, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Same with you. You are in Christ and Christ is in you because we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." Same thing. So we're in him, we're in God, and God's in us. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Verse 17, "Love has perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." So that's where I wanted to get to, verse 17. So first off, in the first part of the verse, it says that because of this love that's on the inside of us, because God is on the inside of us, because we are in God and God is in us, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and we have his Holy Spirit, it says we have this boldness on the day of judgment. We're no longer afraid of judgment day because, and what does it say? Because as he is, so are we in this world. So that's the reason for no more judgment. So it says we're going to be judged. And why is that? Why are we not going to be afraid anymore of judgment? Why are we not afraid anymore of judgment? Because we're going to be judged like Christ. Because as he is, so are we. And think about it. On judgment day, how are we going to be judged? Are we going to be judged for our sin? Are we going to be judged for our acts of unrighteousness of the past? Are we going to be judged because we're a sinner? No, because of what Christ has done, he has been justified. He has justified us. He has given us his righteousness. We are now risen up from the old, up from the grave, up from the dead, into newness of life. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we are now holy and blameless in his sight. So when God the Father looks at us, he sees us blameless. He sees us holy. He sees us perfect, perfect. He sees us righteous. He sees us justified from all of our unrighteousness because Christ Jesus has put that iniquity and sin away. We're no longer going to be judged as sinners, so we don't have to be afraid on judgment day. We are going to be judged as the righteousness of God because of Christ Jesus. We are completely righteous and redeemed and set free and delivered. And so there is no more fear and judgment because as he is, so are we. That's where I wanted to get us today. So as Christ is, so are we in this world. We have to identify with our new nature. We have to identify with our new life in Christ. We have to identify with how God sees Christ. God the Father loves Jesus. He is beloved. He sees us the same way that he sees Christ, righteous, perfect, holy, loved by God. We're his sons and we're his daughters. Jesus is our elder brother. And so we are like Christ and we have to understand that just as Jesus is in everything in his righteousness, all the way down to his fruitfulness, his ability to overcome, his ability to conquer all things. So just as he was in all those things, so are we in this world. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 34, our second foundation scripture. As he is, so are we. Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. It says, for you died. Say, I died. I died. And it says, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. So here it is. It says it right here. Your life is hidden with Christ in God and Christ, who is our life. So our life is Christ's life. We can look at Christ's life and accept it as our own life. We have to identify that Christ's life is our life. And this is a practice. This takes skill. This takes effort. This takes a changing of mindsets. This takes a changing of the way we speak, a changing of thought, a changing of action. How would I act? I mean, they have those bracelets that, it's kind of, you know, people would just wear them, as children, or even, I don't know, maybe older people do too. But there was those bracelets that we would wear as kids, and it said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And what Jesus would do, we should do. It becomes really easy when you start to think, well, how would Jesus respond? How would Jesus think about this? What does the word say? What does Jesus say about this? How would Jesus respond to this? It becomes very clear to us when you actually start asking that question, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? And we can know that from the word because we get to know Jesus and his thoughts and his ways and his acts that are higher than our ways. What we would do, his ways are so much better, the Bible says. It's so much higher. That's so much greater. And so we have to adopt that. We have to identify with all that he is because Christ, who is our life? I just remember when I first got the understanding that Christ is my life, I was like, Christ, he's my life. Christ, who is my life? He's my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. And it was, there was nothing else I could say other than I just understood that Christ, who is my life? My life is hidden with Christ in God. And with that understanding comes a change in behavior, comes a change in thought, comes a change in life. And so get that understanding on the inside of you. These two things, 1 John 4, verse 17, and Colossians 3, verse 4, that Christ is your life, that your life is hidden with Christ in God. And as Christ is, so am I. In this world, we need to identify with Christ. We need to identify with who Jesus is, what he can do, what he has. For the Bible says, all things are yours. All things belong to you. So the promises in the word of God, what Christ has, it's not unavailable to us. We have free access. We're seated with Christ in heavenly place. We're sitting right next to him at the right hand seat of the Father in heaven, seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. See ourselves in that way. Identify with Christ in that way. As he is, so are we. So there's this this statement that many ministers have said before. I don't know who originally said it, but I remember hearing it for the first time, and it became something that I started saying. I started to take as my own. And this is what it is. It says, what we can't say about Christ, we can't say about ourselves. So if we can't say something about Jesus, then we can't say that about ourselves. And what's really neat about that, it's like we hear ministers a lot of the times will say something, say a revelation or say something like that, like a statement like that. But all of those statements that are preached, those all originate from the Word of God. So where does that statement come from? What you can't say about Christ, you can't say about yourself. That comes from, as he is, so are we. It comes from Christ, who is my life. What I can't say about the life of Christ, I can't say about myself. So what can't you say about Christ? Well, he's not a sinner. He's not unrighteous. He wasn't someone that couldn't overcome. But what we can say about Christ, we can also say about ourselves. We can say, I am righteous. I am healed. I'm not only healed, but I'm healthy. I'm not only healthy, but I'm strong. The Bible says that there was a strength that came upon Elijah, and it was a divine strength that came upon his life so that he was able to outrun a chariot with horses. And so there's a divine strength that comes upon your life that's far better than just getting healed by God. It's far better than just being healthy for a season and being sick for a season and being constantly in a state of ups and downs in your health. You can be healthy. You can have divine health and you can have divine strength, and you can live long and you can live strong. What we can say about Christ, we can say about ourselves. He was healthy. You didn't see Jesus going around asking for a physician. You didn't see Jesus going around looking for someone who can heal him. He went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. Same thing in terms of freedom. There was nothing that bound Jesus. There was nothing that could contain him. It says that the Word of God could never be chained up. So Jesus could never be chained up. He could never be prisoned up. He could never be kept down in the grave, in the bowels of hell, shackled by the enemy. There was nothing in hell that could keep him down longer than 3 days. Once the claims of justice were settled in hell, the courts were satisfied. Once everything that was paid in full, Jesus was not bound in hell for longer than 3 days. Once it was done, it was finished. And so he was free. And so if Christ Jesus was free, then his freedom has become our freedom. What we can't say about Jesus. Yeah, what we can't say, I was like, is that right? Okay, what we can't say about Jesus, we can't say about ourselves. So there's nothing that can bound us any longer. There's nothing that can limit us and hinder us. There's nothing in the world that could ever separate us, the Bible says, from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from Jesus. There's nothing that can separate us from his life. We are one with him, and he is one with us. What we can't say about him, we can't say about us. So that means he was free from sin. So are we. The Bible says in Romans 6 that sin no longer shall lord it over you. You shall no longer be bound and be under sin any longer. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If there's anything that's tripping you up in life, sin does not have to trip you up any longer. That's something you're free from. Don't think that sin is too hard to break. Don't think that thing is something that you can never overcome. There is freedom in Christ Jesus. What didn't bind him cannot bind you. So that's your confession. What can't bind Christ can't bind me any longer. There is freedom from fear in Christ Jesus. He wasn't afraid. He was the one that always would say, fear not. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. For I've given you the kingdom. So fear has no place in our lives. Fear has no place in the believer whose life is hidden with Christ in God. There has to be no sort of fear tolerated in our lives because Christ has freed us from fear with the resurrection. There is freedom from every form of care in your life. Jesus didn't go around worried. He wasn't careful even with his life. It says in Matthew 6:33, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't take no care. Take no thought saying, he said, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about how all of these things are going to be satisfied. Instead, seek me and seek the Father, seek the kingdom of God. And what did Jesus do? He went around seeking the kingdom. He went about doing his Father's business. He went about doing good. He went about making sure that he was advancing the kingdom of God. So that's our aim. That's our effort. We don't have to take care about the things of the cares and the anxieties of life, as the Bible calls them. But we can be free from fear just as Christ was. So if Christ was free from fear, then so can I be free from fear, free from care and fear as well. Christ was an overcomer. Christ was a conqueror. Christ was a victor. The Bible says that overwhelming victory belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Overwhelming victory. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus because of his victory. You know, I was reading something, I think it was last week, and it was so good. And it said that, you know, the battle that Jesus won was not won for him. I'm sorry. He did not fight for himself. He wasn't fighting for his freedom from his own sin. He was fighting for us. The battle that he won was not his battle. It was our battle. And he won it for us. So his victory was indeed our victory. There is, and because he won the ultimate victory, the victory of life versus death for those that were bound by sin, because of his great grand victory, we can have great victory in our lives. That was the greatest victory that was ever won and will ever be won. And because of that victory, there is absolutely nothing in our lives that we cannot be victorious in. There's nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing that we can't pass through, that we can't conquer. There is nothing that can hinder us in life. Because he's an overcomer, we're an overcomer. And get that spirit on the inside of you that, well, I'm a conquering spirit. I have a conquering spirit living and abiding on the inside of me. I'm victorious. I was born victorious. As it says in 1 John 4, it says, this is the victory that you have in this world, your faith. And those that are born of God are born with victory. So you're a victor, you're an overcomer, you're a conqueror, because as he is, so are we. A few more. Jesus was a lover. He was a giver. He was full of love. If you're a person that just is full of hate, full of no love for people, because you're in Christ Jesus, you can love. You can be a lover like Christ. Identify with the love of Christ. Identify with the love of God. Identify with that ability to love the church, to love people, to love souls, to love the lost, to love those that are sinners even. He loved all. He loved the world that he gave. So that's why I wrote that one together. Lover, he was a lover and he was a giver. He gave. He went around giving. He was a giver of life. It says he is the life giver. And so because he was a giver, he paid the ultimate sacrifice. God gave his one and only son, the most precious, the most expensive gift in the entire world, the Son of God. He sowed the most expensive seed that anyone could ever sow in all of history and in all of the future. There's no greater gift that anyone could ever give than the gift that the Father gave. He's a lover and he's a giver. And as he is, so are we. We can be lovers and we can be givers. And we are lovers and we are givers, because as Christ is, so are we. Jesus was fruitful. He was productive. He was efficient. He was very fruitful in all of his efforts. There wasn't anything that Jesus did that didn't produce. And so you can always look in your life and make sure that there's fruit. He says that, you know, when you're connected to me, abide in me and I in you, and those that abide in me will bear much fruit and will bear even more excellent fruit, will bear even richer fruit. There's a richness to your Christian walk, to your life, to what you're bearing. There should be increase in your life. There should be fruitfulness. There should be productivity in your life. If you say, I've never experienced any form of productivity, I've never been efficient in anything, I haven't been fruitful in anything, identify with Christ Jesus. Identify with who Christ was. As he is, then so am I. So I can be. I can be fruitful. I can be productive. I can produce. I can increase. I can be efficient in everything that I put my hands to. Christ was able. Philippians 4:13, the Bible says that I can do all things because of Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I am able to do. When Christ was able to do anything, there's nothing that Christ can't do. He says, I am willing and I can. He can do all things. He's willing and he can. And so be willing yourself, and Christ will give you the ability. We have to bring the willingness, because the Bible says, be willing and obedient, and then you shall eat the fruit of the land. So bring your willingness, and Christ provides his ability, his sufficiency, so that you are able to do the things that are hard. You're able to do the things that you never thought you would be able to do by the power and strength of Christ. And then also in Acts 1:8, it says, then you will be filled with power from on high. That's not what it says. What does Acts 1:8 says? I'm going to it. I just wrote scriptures down. Okay, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power. There we go. And in the Amplified, it says, power, efficiency, and might. Power, efficiency, ability, and might. So there's the ability again. That's what I was talking about here. But you shall receive ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the Holy Spirit, the life of God, Christ, gives you and provides you ability, efficiency, and might so that you are able. So as Christ was able to do things, so are you. Don't be a person that says, I can't do that. Get can't out of your vocabulary, because as Christ is, so are you, so that you are able. There's no more excuses any longer. Throw excuses out the window, because Christians don't have excuses. If Christians start to have excuses, they're just lazy Christians, and laziness is not of Christ. So we got to throw away that old nature. We got to take on the new nature. We are able, we are efficient, and we are empowered by the life of Christ living on the inside of us. And a couple more. I wrote a lot, and I'm realizing there's just so much more even that I could talk about, but a couple more. It says, I wrote that Christ was strong and he was not weak. There's that scripture that says, let the weak say, I am strong. So don't identify with your weakness. Identify with the strength of Christ. Even Paul said, it's not I, but it's Christ. It's Christ who lives on the inside of me. But he also said, it was the grace. God's grace is sufficient enough for me. That yes, I have weaknesses, but the grace of God is sufficient for me. It's able to strengthen me where I'm weak. When I'm weak, I'm going to say I'm strong. Why? Because I'm not strong in myself. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm strong in Christ Jesus, who had great strength. He had mighty strength. He had the power of the Holy Spirit operating and working on the inside of him. He always knew what to do. Jesus always knew what to do. I'm going to John 6 real quick about the feeding of the 5,000 and it says that, you know, he asked the disciples, what should we do about feeding all these people? But it says in John 6, verse 6, but this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. He always knew what to do. Christ always had the answer. He is the solution. He has every solution. It says that we have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. We can think like Christ thought. We can think with his wisdom because he has given us his wisdom. We can know what to do. When we need answers in life, we search within us. We search the greater one living on the inside of us. We ask, what would Christ do? What should I do? We seek the word. We seek Christ. In those times when we don't know what to do, we can know what to do because Christ knew what to do. And as he is, so are we. We have the mind of Christ. He was very decisive. There's that scripture in James that says, be not a double-minded man, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus was decisive. He stuck with his word. His yes meant yes, his no meant no. And so that's the same for us. And finally, the last thing I'll talk about is that Jesus was a finisher. He was an accomplisher. So I kind of went through a lot of things. I just was jotting a lot of things down. There's so much more that Christ is, that so are we, but find it in the word. Find your examples in the word. Well, I see that this is what Jesus was like. Well, as Jesus is, according to the word, so am I. Find your scripture. Find your points that you've identified with. Because when you identify with these things, and you know there's no more, I'm not going to identify with how I used to be, with those limitations, with those things that held me back. Now I can actually live and walk in this way because of Christ. And this last one, Christ was a finisher. He was an accomplisher. He didn't start something and not finish it. He started something and he completed it. It says in Hebrews 2 that he's the author and the finisher. He's the starter, the initiator. He's the one that starts the work and he's the one that completes the work. He will bring the work that he started within you to completion. So if he starts something, you better believe that he's going to finish it. And so same with you. You might say, I start things, but I don't finish things. I don't accomplish things. I don't complete things. Well, as Christ Jesus isn't a finisher and he lives and abides on the inside of you, and Christ, who is your life, so shall you be a completer. So shall you be an accomplisher. So shall you be like Christ in this way. It says that at the end of his work, he said, it is finished. And you know, he died and he rose back from the grave. And it says that he was risen up to meet the Father. He presented his blood to the Father. And then it says that he sat down, which sitting down means that there is a finished work. He put his, it's just like when a painter paints the artwork, and then it puts that paintbrush, because that paintbrush is no longer needed. That paintbrush is done. He sat down. The work was finished. It was complete. Now he was just interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. So his work was completed. We can identify with everything that Christ is in the word. Find it, identify it, act on it. Accept it, believe it, confess it, speak it over your life. Let it become so real to you that Christ is your life. And because Christ is your life, everything that he is, so am I in this world. Amen. I hope this blessed you today. And I hope this encouraged you. Share it with someone and get connected in everything that we're doing, Houston Young Adults related. Love you guys. See y'all next time.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining the Houston Young Adults Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all our socials at Houston Young Adults. Thanks for tuning in.